Hello, everyone. Getting ready to do a little relationships work tonight. So this call, I'll teach a little bit, just for a few minutes, go over a few things about relationships. Hello, Patricia. And then we can coach, if anybody wants relationships coaching. We can go through one of the worksheets from the workshop, if you'd like. So it's kind of open. It's all about relationships, though. So if you have a relationships question, you can put it in the Q&A or we can coach, okay? So we'll give, hello, Jill. We'll give everyone a minute to come on in and we'll get started. So, hi, Darla. All right. All right, so let's do this. Let's start with defining what a relationship really is. So this is one of my favorite things to do because it took me a minute to really think about and grasp this concept. So for all of you who are new to relationships, I want you to picture, and I'm gonna draw my board here. So anybody on the replay, I want you to picture two stick figures, okay? These two people have a relationship. It could be your boss, it could be your partner, could be your kids, could be your teacher, could be the person at the grocery store in the line in front of you. It takes two people to have a relationship, but the definition of the relationship really is the thoughts you have about it, okay, and about the person in your relationship with you. So the relationship happens between the thought bubbles. Okay? So, how do I know this? Let's say I have two brothers. Okay? I could think Paul is my favorite brother. Best brother, hands down. Brian, he's okay. Paul, definitely my favorite brother. But Paul could look at me and look at Brian and say, you know what, Brian, he's my guy. He's my favorite. I like Kathy okay, but I like Brian better. So I have a relationship with Paul that says, where my thought is, he is my best brother. He is my favorite brother. Paul doesn't have the same thoughts about me. He likes me okay, but he doesn't have the same thoughts about me. So our relationships are based on what we think about each other. And there are four different types of thoughts. This is what I find so fascinating. Four different types of thoughts that make up a relationship with someone else. It's what you think the other person thinks of you. This is you trying to get in someone else's thought bubble. And guess what they're thinking? And you don't belong there, right? Because you can't guess. The second one is what you think of that person. These are your judgments and opinions about the people in your life. The third one is what you think of yourself in relation to that person. And that would be like a self-judgment, compare, and comparisons, you know. But who's it? Winston Churchill, maybe, that said, comparison is the thief of joy, because you're never going to come up on the better side of comparison. And then the fourth kind of thought you have in a relationship is everything you believe your person should be thinking, feeling, or doing in order to hold up their end of the relationship. That's your shoulds or your manual or your expectations about them. Okay? So you can have really loving thoughts about your person, or you can have a whole bunch of thoughts about them that say they're not living up to their end of the deal. Or you can have a whole bunch of thoughts that say, I'm not as good as that person. Or you can have a whole bunch of thoughts that say, they really should be thinking and doing these things for me. Make sense? Those earphones work great. I am so glad. Jill says, expectations are just resentments waiting to happen. They can be, absolutely. You can communicate, you can always communicate an expectation, always. But your person doesn't have to fulfill it, right? Because they get to choose. They get to choose their own thoughts about you and about the relationship. So they can totally be on board and say, oh, you want me to take trash out every day? Sure, no problem. I got this. Or they can say, mm-mm, trash isn't my thing. Find somebody else. And I still love you, by the way. So the relationships course on the website has a whole lot of information in it about the thought bubbles. I kind of went over them really fast. And there is also a thought bubble worksheet that is pretty cool because it helps you identify which kinds of thoughts you're having about the person that you're thinking about. So if you listened to the relationships workshop, the thought bubble section is the thought I got coached on. And I was doing, my person of focus was Greg, my son. He's my second son. And so I gave my top five thoughts about him. And I said what his top five thoughts were about me. Things like, he loves me. I'm his mom. He talks to me when I call. She's fine. She's a good mom. Things like that. Pretty bland. It's what I thought he thought. What I thought he was thinking about me. Then it asks you for the top five thoughts you'd like to have about that person. So that's different than the thoughts that you have, right? But you can choose any thought. That's what was so mind-blowing to me. I'll talk about that in a minute. Then the top five thoughts I'd like them to have about me are. So it really gets you thinking about what's true and what's not and what's manufactured in your mind about this person in your relationship. So what I had boiled down to with my son, with Greg, was what Corinne uncovered was that he wore the same shorts all the time, these athletic shorts, Adidas, black. And I was making that mean I wasn't a good enough mother because I didn't teach him how to wash his clothes or wear different things. I'm just making it about me when Greg just wanted to be comfortable. It was just not a big deal for him. So that's what relationships work uncovers for you. It uncovers the thoughts that you're thinking about your person that really don't belong in the relationship. And the four steps that Corinne came up with to figure this out and to fix it is to take a thought like he shouldn't wear the same set of shorts all the time, same pair of shorts, and decide if it's useful or it's not useful. Then you move to not judging yourself or the person that you're thinking about. Then you create new thoughts and you act like the person who thinks them. So my new thought about Greg was, his shorts aren't a reflection on me. Because they're not. I mean, he's 29 years old. He can wear whatever he wants, right? Not a reflection on how he was raised and whether or not he likes me or loves me. And all that's great. So acting like the person who believes that helped me believe that for sure. And yes, Gene, he still wears those shorts a lot. Sometimes with an undershirt and a flannel shirt, and house shoes. But he's happy and he loves me and I love him and it's all good. All right. So that's what I know about relationships. That's what I know. They're all built on the thoughts and the thoughts you have about the person and about what they say, what they do, how they feel. All right. So we have a hand raised. We're ready to coach. Sierra, you're up. And then Rose.
All right. Can you hear me? Can you see me?
Yeah, I can. Hey, lady.
I was expecting to go first.
Just
jumped right in because I was like, if I don't raise my hand, it's not going to happen.
All right. How are you?
Okay. Moment by moment, right now I'm doing okay.
Okay.
So.
What's up?
So. My dog wants to play out of nowhere now.
Of course.
So I am still going back and forth with whether I want to continue to be married or not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And things are struggles, but I guess I've done so much thought work on the relationship. I've gotten coached mm-hmm. many a time before on the relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I guess now what I'm grappling with is in taking responsibility for my thoughts and feelings on things, mm-hmm. how do I necessarily know how to make the right decision? And
well, what does the think, feel, do cycle look like? You have a thought, then you have a feeling, then you have a do. Uh-huh. And your do is decide.
Okay.
Right? Decide is an action. Make a decision is an action. So how do you have to feel in order to make any big decision? Going to law school, getting married, staying married, having kids, getting a job, which job? How do you have to feel in order to make a decision?
Decisive.
Okay. Can you come up with something else?
I guess I've never really noticed what a feeling was attached to making a decision.
Who in the chat can help Sierra with a feeling?
Help me.
Excited? Confident? Informed? I missed the other one. Prepared? Good? Good? Sure? About ready, willing, content, certain, committed. So to make a decision on your marriage, what would you have to feel?
I would say all of it, whatever the feeling was at the any given time.
So if I told you right now, by the end of this call, you had to make a decision, what feeling would you have to gin up? Confidence? Prepared? See, that's the problem. You have uncertain in your feelings line. Right? When you feel uncertain, you don't do a whole lot, right? You freeze. You ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Right? Why do you feel uncertain?
Hold on. She just walked in. I have to let her know not to come in here. I just texted you. Okay.
So why do you feel uncertain?
I feel like if I don't take long amounts of time to weigh all the options, then I can't make a decision. And then if I make a decision and then I don't like it later, I guess having to re-decide at that moment mm-hmm. and not really having any conclusion to it.
Okay. So do you think
I guess there's fear of making the wrong decision.
Yeah. That's what creates the uncertainty. I might make the wrong decision. So is there a wrong decision?
no. But I guess the thought beneath that is, I guess it's causing fear to be uncertain and not necessarily knowing.
Why is the fear there? What are you afraid of? And don't say making the wrong decision, because it's deeper than that. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of getting divorced or being in a marriage where her behavior doesn't change.
Okay. Why are you afraid of getting divorced?
Lots of thoughts.
Yeah, right.
I failed, like, I'm alone now, and,
okay,
you know, I didn't keep my end up of the bargain of our vows. And,
okay. So this is what you should do, because you have a lot of thoughts about this relationship. Your thought bubble is full. Okay? So you have thoughts about staying, and thoughts about leaving. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all mixed in there together, and they're all jumbled up together. And both of them are creating fear and indecision. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to make a list of both. I think you have to get it on paper and really examine it. Fears, thoughts about staying, she won't change. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And thoughts about leaving, I'm failing. Vows, didn't uphold vows. Abbreviating. You're going to have to make these lists. Because right now they're all jumbled up in your thought bubble. And then what you do when you go through these is you look and you say, okay, no, she's not going to change. Can I love her anyway? Does leaving this mean I'm failing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, does it?
I guess what really makes
it... You start to question each one of them.
Mm-hmm. And I think because I have questioned each one of those,
mm-hmm,
and have given myself, like, the thoughts that whatever the decision is, I'm going to be okay because I know how to make myself okay.
Mm-hmm.
So even with that, for me, that makes it more like I don't know what to do. Because if either way, I'm going
to... Do you really not know what to do? If I said, Sierra, I've got $50,000 for you. You just need to make a decision right now. You would know what to do, wouldn't you? You said yes, then you said no. Would you know? Would you land one side or the other? You don't have to tell me which one. Would you land one side or the other? You would. And would it be the right decision?
I don't know.
You decide whether it's the right decision. Because no one can see the future, right? But you can create the future with a thought, right? That's how results are created. That's how the future is created. So your C line is the decision. Your thought line is whatever you decide it is. This is right for me. It can be, this is right for me. Or it can be, I don't know if this is right. Each of those leads to a totally different path. This is right for me has a much different feeling than I don't know if this is right. But this is the one you're choosing right now. yet. You seem, when I told you $50,000, you knew what decision was right for you. What are you thinking?
I feel like my emotions answered the question, but then my logical brain that thinks about things and all the different sides is like, you can't make a decision just on that. It's more than just what you feel in this moment.
What else is it? I mean, you've been talking about this for 6 weeks now, right? At least, well, you've been talking with us about it for 6 weeks. Or 6 weeks? A month. We'll say a month. Because you brought it up at camp. So you can choose, here it is, you can choose to sit in indecision for another month or year. Do you think it will change the decision that you'll ultimately make?
Well, no. I guess it's just being fearful of making a decision solely based on what it is that I want and that what I need. And not thinking about other people and how it will affect them.
Okay. So what do you want to base your decision on? What you need or other people?
I want to base it off of what is best for me from a place of, well, I guess, decisiveness and confidence and, like, not all up and down with the emotions.
What's wrong with being sad over a decision you have to make?
I don't know if this is my mind trying to, like, dumb it down or like water it down or like try to make it sugar coated or whatever, but it's just, I guess, the belief that I shouldn't make decisions when my emotions regarding the circumstances are still up and down.
Okay.
And so instead of focusing on the actual decision of it all, mm-hmm. still being wrapped up in the unintentional emotions that I'm going through.
Are your emotions unintentional? Or are they created by a thought?
Well, they're created by a thought.
Yeah. So when you started to cry, was that thought one of those habit automatic thoughts, or was it one that you truly attach to and believe?
Both.
Okay.
Which is also one of the layers of why I'm not sure that I necessarily trust my decision making right now, is that, like I said at camp, if I leave, I don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. If we were talking about leaving a job or going to law school or something like that, would you be having the same emotional? Would you question your decision making? Are you a pretty decisive person?
When it comes to law school, I did have a moment where I had to decide to stay or go. Mm-hmm. It was very emotional.
Mm-hmm. How long did that decision take?
Oh, probably about a semester, a semester okay. and a half.
Okay.
if not the whole year.
So in the beginning, when you knew that that decision was going to have to be made, did you know pretty much that you wanted to do everything you could to stay? Had you already made the decision in your mind? You were just figuring it out? Because you stayed. Kept going to class. Must have done something right because you passed the bar.
Then again, I come back to that one was really being afraid of what other people would say and how other people would feel.
Okay. Ultimately, you stayed. Is that because of other people or because of yourself?
Well, I could say I had a lot of thoughts of other people feeling that, but ultimately, you know, I had to do the work to be there and stay there and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Are you glad you stayed in law school?
I can't say at this current moment that I am.
Okay. So are you questioning that decision? So what happens? This is so interesting. What happens when you make a decision, you set yourself on a path, and you decide to try a different path? What's wrong with any of that? Let's say you went to law school, you passed the bar, you got a job, you're a lawyer and all the things, and you hate it. I just want to be a zookeeper, Kathy. I want to pet the cheetahs, feed them. What's wrong with any of that?
Nothing.
What gets in your way is self-judgment. I went to school to be an accountant. I spent 32 years being an accountant. I divorced myself from the accounting job, decided to do something else. So ultimately, to bring it back to your relationship and your marriage, you've got a couple of choices. You can sit in painful indecision, or you can make a painful decision and decide this is the avenue I'm going to take. And if it doesn't work, I'll try another avenue. In the meantime, you have to be real careful about your judgments and your expectations of your wife. You have to, if you stay, you have to love her for the person that she is. Completely, because you're not going to change her. She can change her. You can tell her, I really want you to do these things. I will stay. I really want you to do these things. And she gets to decide.
That's also very worry-making for me.
Why?
Because I feel like the major things that need to be worked on in this relationship are mostly in her hands.
Okay.
And I have no control over that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So you get to present her with options and then decide. This is in your hands. This is what I, do you love her?
Of course.
Okay. I love you. This is what I need out of this marriage. Are you willing to meet me halfway here? This is what marriage counselors do, right? They're that intermediary that helps between the two of you. Or you can handle it yourself and say, this is what I need. But then the ball's in her court, right? Then she has a thought bubble about what you've said And it might be, you know what? I got this. We'll do it. And it might be, it's a no. Or somewhere in between.
Okay, so like, this is what had happened. Okay. That conversation took place.
Okay.
And over the past couple of days, she has really, I guess from what she has said, really began to understand what our issues are.
Okay.
And that she's willing to work on them.
Okay.
But I'm having a really hard time trusting. And so we have to rebuild that, which I understand mm-hmm. if we're going to mm-hmm. stay together. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's really of that fear of just like, I want to stay, but I can't guarantee things will change.
You know, trust is a decision, right? You are choosing to withhold trust.
Even if I extend trust, how am I supposed to how do I know that it's not going to be broken again?
You don't.
And if I don't know that, how can I make the right decision?
It's all based on your thoughts. You extend trust based on a thought. What's her name?
Kiana.
Kiana. Such a pretty name. Kiana and Sierra, two pretty names. You can have a thought that I'm going to trust Kiana to uphold her end of the deal. Okay? And then you just sit back and wait. And you allow her to work at her pace and do her things for as long as you continue to offer her that trust. But then if she's not moving fast enough, that's a manual. That's your should for her. If she's not doing the right things, it's another should for her. You have to decide how important those are and whether or not those are deal breakers for you. That's how you make that decision. Ultimately, it's like what I was telling you about. You have a list of reasons to go and list of reasons to stay. You have to decide which list is more conclusive. And if she doesn't uphold her end of the deal, is that a reason to go or is that a reason to stay and work with her some more until she does or accept the person that she is? It's a lot of questions. There's no hard and fast. Here's how you do it, Sierra. Here's how, because you've got all those thoughts in there. You've got all the, you know, and it's all mixed in with, you know, I love her. She's my wife. She's the person I picked. She's my person.
And I think that's what makes it hurtful. And I pick the person that does stuff like this to me.
So let me ask you this, Sierra. How strong in you, in your love for yourself?
I don't know, and I guess that's what it kind of feels like if I'm choosing her or choosing me.
Well, it could be that, but it also could be if you're looking to her to fulfill your own love tank, that you could be fulfilling yourself, mm-hmm. your own self-love tank. You know, if you knew that you were beautiful and competent and all the things, would things she says and does hurt as much? Or would you be like, look, Kiana, that's, you know, come on.
I mean,
you see what I'm saying?
I definitely believe, like, I could have anybody that I want. Like, I don't have mm-hmm. to be here. Like, if I really wanted somebody else, mm-hmm. I could go and do that. Mm-hmm. Or I can be by myself and exceed and excel by myself.
Okay. Do you love yourself? You love yourself enough to give her the space?
If it came down to it, mm-hmm. the way I feel about it is, you know, I'll be fine either way. Mm-hmm. I know whatever the decision is, there's going to be pain that goes along with it. Whether it's I end this relationship in this marriage and figure out what life is like after that. Mm-hmm. Or if it's reconciliation and all that stuff that, you know, you have to go through the emotions with. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I'm just going to say it. She cheated.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like,
I don't know how to spell her name. Is that close?
Yeah.
Kiana cheated.
So it's like, all right. I can feel all these things about me.
Hurt. Look at this. Look at this now. She cheated. You feel hurt. You feel hurt because of a thought you have. Not because she cheated.
And I get that.
Yeah.
Like, so I totally get it.
What's
so
the
my
thought?
Thing is,
what's the thought?
There's many of them. You want me to pick one?
Just pick one. Just pick one.
Pick one. Okay.
Is it about you or is it about her?
I can't believe she would do that.
Okay. So it's about her. I can't believe she would do that. I'm not going to write it all down. But she did.
And like before, like, I don't make it about me.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what a lot of people would, okay? They would say,
yeah, this is not about
me. I must not be good
enough. I understand.
Okay.
Oh, no. I'm more than enough. We've had this conversation. Like, I'm an amazing wife to you. Anyone would be lucky to have me.
That's exactly what, you know, where now I know not to go down that path anymore. That's perfect. Okay. But, all right, so what's wrong with feeling hurt about this?
I'm cool with feeling hurt about it.
Right.
I just don't know how to make a decision mm-hmm. that's not based in the thought and the feeling. Or is that not what I should be shooting for? Is that unrealistic?
If decisions are based on thoughts and feelings. You just got to pick the ones you want to, the side you want to be on. Decide is an action. You're not going to do it without thoughts and feelings.
That's how I make all my decisions in life.
Give me a decision you made that didn't have a thought behind it.
Well, okay. All of them do.
Yeah.
But I guess the thought was that my feelings don't matter in this decision.
And that feeling would be apathy. And you make it the decision. Sometimes thoughts go by really fast. You know, you don't walk out in front, you know, you don't dive away from a car because you have a thought, it's going to hit me, scared, right? It's a thing, but it's always preceded. You know the model, it's always preceded by a thought and a feeling. So you just have to make a decision based on the thought and feeling that you choose that feels best to you. Okay? Do you want to make a decision based on hurt? What feeling makes the best decision for you? Informed? Confident? Worthy?
I was going to say neutral and level-headed, but...
Neutral and level-headed work too, if that's where you make your best decisions. But I'm betting hurt isn't the place that makes the best decisions. Fear isn't the place to make the best decisions. Unless a tiger is chasing you, then fear works. Settled. Steady. competent. That's how you make the right decision. You find the feeling that helps you be in the place with your thoughts that creates the space for you to make the right decision.
I guess I have to have more time and patience with myself.
Patience might be good, right? Discernment. I love the feeling I love feeling discerned. Can you feel discerned? Acting discerned. What is discernment? Discernment is understanding, right? So maybe that's the feeling. Understanding, willing, open, discerning. Thank you, Heather.
I guess I have to do more TDLs then.
Was this helpful at all to you?
Yes. But I also know I need more time and marital counseling and such. So I understand that this isn't a decision I'm going to make in action overnight, but it just feels panicky, I guess. I
don't know. To make the decision feels panicky? That the thought about making a decision right now feels panicky?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, did you have, it's probably a dumb question because, I mean, you know, I'm just, I am who I am. Last movie I saw was Mr. Rogers. Shocking, right? It was out about a year ago. And he said something that I thought was super interesting. He was like a life coach before he was. And I just want to offer it to you because I think you might have to consider this as you make your decision, whether or not you can move this direction. He defined forgiveness as a decision you make to release someone from the feelings of anger you have toward them. If you were able to set aside anger and hurt, I wonder if you would be able to find discerning and confident. Because forgiveness.
I thought about that too.
Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a gift you give someone else.
I learned that years ago in therapy. So for me, it's like, I know whatever the decision is, I have to forgive because I can't carry that with me. And I don't want to carry that with me for anybody.
Right.
But I guess what the real decision that has to be made is whether to reconcile or not. I don't need to hate you or, you know, just loathe you,
mm-hmm.
you know, but does that have to include us being married? Is, I guess, it's just.
Ultimately, that's your choice. That's your decision. Because you can love her either way.
Oh, the feels. Okay.
That's one thing you are super good at, is feeling the feels. I have watched you just, it's almost like our baby has grown up from the time you started.
Am I a preteen yet?
Girl, you're through puberty. You are grown. You have done so much work. You're just pretty amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck with this. Good luck with
this.
Thank you. I know that when the dust settles, that you will decide from a place of, you know, a well thought out, prepared, reconciled decision.
It'll probably be a memo, you know, so.
Keep us posted.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Take care. You're welcome. Bye. Tammy?
I think I accidentally raised my hand.
Okay. If you don't want to be coached, I will just put you back down to attendee. Does that sound good?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Misty, do you have your hand raised on purpose? Here you come. Hello.
Hi. I have never done this.
So, how are you?
My daughter and grandson don't come in. I'm good. So I am, because this is relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I am trying to find, and I put it in on the coaches, and I did get, you know, some answers on there. It was like to do the self-love. Mm-hmm. And so I have a husband who is severely depressed. And so, here, can you guys stay up for a minute? Sorry. To the point where, like, he doesn't get out of bed.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out where, what my role is. Do I continue to yell at him and tell him to get out of bed? I've just become really angry.
Mm-hmm.
That he has that option to stay in bed. And I know it's a real deal. He's been in and out of the hospital and had some things going on. But I'm just trying to find my role, what I need to do, because it's starting to cause me to go downhill emotionally, obviously.
Well, why are you angry?
Because to me, I don't get it. I don't understand how you can just stop life. So I don't understand his depression, I guess. And I just get angry that he's given up on life. And so it just makes me, angry. And I take it out. I mean, I do yell. There's times where I try to be nice and like, you know, honey, you can do this. But I find myself just becoming more and more bitchy, you know, and that's not helping.
Okay. What else do you do when you're angry? Anything else other than yelling?
I found that I've kind of given up on, not given up. I mean, I have to go out and exercise every day for my own mental being. Mm-hmm. But I found that I've lost my love for it.
Okay.
Now it's like I have to do it for my mental well-being instead of because I love it. And I do find that I'm writing down in my planner, you know, what will get in the way of me staying on track.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually the best that he causes me.
Blame.
And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
then I obviously eat.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're angry because you don't understand why he's depressed or you don't understand. Tell me what more about what you don't get.
I don't get how someone can just give up on life, you know, and I've never experienced depression to the point he has, and I don't understand how you can just give up on everything. Okay. You know, your family, your job, and leave me to carry it.
Okay. So, is he clinically depressed?
He is, yes.
Okay.
So yes,
he's clinically depressed. Your thought is, I don't understand how you can give up. And that makes you angry. When you're angry, you yell. You bitch at him, you question exercise, you blame all kinds of things, and you eat. And the result is you're giving up on yourself too, and him, giving up on both of
you. Yeah.
I give up on both of us.
Yeah, that's
right. So here's what I really want you to see, Misty. You're not angry because he's depressed and in bed. You're angry because of this thought. I don't understand how you can just give up.
Yeah.
And you're yelling and questioning your exercise and blaming and eating. Not because he's depressed and in bed, but because of this thought.
That's true. Yeah.
So someone else
looked at it that way.
Yeah. Someone else who has a husband or a spouse or a partner or a child who's clinically depressed and has trouble getting out of bed, they might have empathy for that person. They might think, I'm not really understanding this, but, you know, I still love them. I want to help. I'm going to give him space. They would have something. They wouldn't have a thought that leads to anger. They might have a thought that leads to empathy or acceptance or awareness. Right?
Yeah. There's times where I feel like I do have empathy, but it's short-lived.
Yeah. It's because you're going back
to... But I never looked at it.
Yeah. So, this thought is all you. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Can you go out for a sec? Okay. Sorry, my daughter walked in.
Okay.
So how do I...
So let me ask you this.
How do I understand more?
How do you understand more? Is that what you want? Do you want to understand more?
I want to support. I mean, what I want is I want him to get a bed.
Okay.
But that's just not
But working. What if he, yeah. I mean, so let's just say he stays in bed. Can you love him anyway?
Yes. I mean, I had thoughts about that, and yes, I can. Mm-hmm.
Can you accept him? Can you accept him?
I think so. It's probably going to be a lot of work on my side to be able to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Because you're going to, are you a person who goes to anger pretty easy? When things go wrong, do you get mad?
It usually takes a lot.
It takes a lot. So
yeah, I mean,
so you're probably at angry here because you've been practicing this thought for a minute or two.
Uh-huh.
Or a lot.
And it's, yeah. I mean, we're going on 3 months.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you have the thought, I don't understand how you can give up, you've actually blocked all understanding. You've pretty much put a period on it and said, you're wrong, dude. You're just wrong. This is wrong. Anger. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've made it a right and wrong. Yeah, right and wrong situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah, and right and wrong and good and bad, they're all modifiers, which make them thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? So let me ask you this. To get to acceptance that he's depressed, I bet you feel that sometimes, right? Acceptance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's times where I go, you know what, that's okay. I'm going to continue with my life and, mm-hmm. you know, love him when I'm home and be able to do what I need to do on my own.
Yeah. So that's actually,
so there are times where,
yeah, that's all action line, which is perfect. When you accept him, you continue on with life. You love him where you can, you take care of what he needs. But what thought brings you to acceptance? Why do you accept him in those moments?
Because I love him. I mean, I love him no matter what.
I love him no matter what. That one feels a little bit better, right? So, can you be confused because you don't understand depression? Sure. Okay. As part of what's in your thought bubble, right? But you can also remind yourself that I can love him no matter what, because you're telling yourself that in between anyway, and that's believable to you, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry.
That's all right. It's okay. Yeah. So relationships work is not easy, y'all. It is not easy, especially when you find that you have to take responsibility for how you show up. And if you show up mm-hmm. in your relationship with him, I don't understand how you can just give up. You know, you're only hurting yourself in that. He's still in the bed. He's mm-hmm. not, I mean, he's doing what he's going to do.
Yeah, right? It doesn't affect you.
Right.
Yeah.
So showing up with...
So I just need to...
You need to think how...
Love and acceptance.
Yeah. And when the anger comes up, just understand that it's normal and it's going to be there, but that's not really going to help you in the relationship. Kind of like Sierra. Hurt is not going to help her resolve her issues either. Anger is not going to help you resolve yours. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does need to change that thought. So, okay.
So you can, if this one comes up a lot for you, you can use the little thought ladder technique that Corinne talked about in Thought Bootcamp, and you can say sometimes, you know, sometimes I think I don't understand how he can give up, right?
Okay.
And you can say, yeah, I'm thinking that again. I see that. I was telling one of my private clients today, I don't know what your work background is, but when I was in my old job, I spent a lot of time in our state legislature. And, you know, a bill becomes a law by a vote and all that kind of stuff. Well, and at any time, one of those senators can say, I move to table this bill. And what it does is it moves the bill mm-hmm. to the table and it doesn't get acted on anymore. It just sits there until it dies, right? You can move this thought to the table. That lets it be there. Allows you to understand that it's there. You just move it to the table. I'm not going to let this model finish out for me because I'm going to continue to take care of myself and him the best way I can.
Okay.
That sound doable?
I do HR, and it does. I mean, I think it's been a little more difficult because I've been working from home. I travel a lot for my job. I'm an HR director over a lot of hospitals, and with me being home, I'm working downstairs, and he's upstairs in bed, and so I see it, you know, 24/7. Where before I'd probably see it, you know, maybe 3 to 4 days a week, you know, an hour or two here or there. Mm-hmm. So I need to put that on the table or every jar.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, that this is a great opportunity to work on this thought because you are home all the time. You didn't have that opportunity before. You were able to buffer this thought with work, right?
Yep.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Now you have an opportunity to work on it. So Jill asked, how do you just decide not to be angry? Anger is a thought that's a feeling that's created by a thought. You don't just decide not to be angry. You decide that you're going to try thinking something else. You're going to try leveling up that thought to diffuse the anger. Or you just be angry and you might burn off.
And as soon as I say, I love him no matter what, anger does not come up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come into my mind. But when I say I don't understand, I can give up, it's immediate anger. Mm-hmm. So I know I have to change that thought. So,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Really take appreciate care. You.
All righty. Bye.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. We got a couple of questions here. What can I tell myself when my young adult children come to me with their problems and I feel their feelings and worry, and then I see a pattern of eating to relieve those emotions? I want to not internalize their feelings as much. So, Stacy, your mama, you're going to love your kids. When they're hurting, you're going to want to hurt, right? Eating, only all it does is cover up the feeling. It doesn't resolve it. It doesn't allow it to burn through. It doesn't allow it to run its course. You just cover it up with food, right? And when the food's gone, you're still hurt. So you have to work through it, knowing that you, I guess it's hurt. I just assumed that. Worry. Knowing that you worry because you love them. It's part of the game, right? Everything is 50-50. Part of the game to worry about your kids and to love them when they're hurting. And feel those feelings. And then, you know, part of the game to be happy when they're happy. You just have to honor. Everything is about honoring your feelings. So in this case, she can be angry. She just needs to accept that it's from a thought. And the thought's her responsibility. So you can worry about your kids. But you do it understanding that you have a thought that's creating the worry. She's not angry because her husband's depressed and in bed. She's angry because of what she thinks about it. You're not worried because your kid said something. You're worried because of something you think and feel about what they said. It always comes back to think, feel, do. These are all totally optional and totally your decision. Okay? Does that help? Is that clear to everyone? I'm going to check the chat real quick. Does that make sense, you guys? Misty says her husband's going through treatment. He's had a past depression, but this round has been the worst and the longest. It did start with COVID. Anything else? Anybody else? Any other questions? My son owes me money, and when I ask him about it, he says he can't talk to me without my ridiculing him. I just want my money back. It's a real sore spot with me, plus we're his landlord, so now he's going to hold back rent till we fix the porch. Okay. That's a lot of, he has a thought that you ridicule him. You say words, he has a thought. And when he thinks they ridicule me, he gets probably indignant and decides to withhold rent. That's his model. Okay? We take his model. What do you think about it? He shouldn't do that. He should pay me. See these shoulds? He shouldn't think those things. Yes. Mm-hmm. And those thoughts don't make you show up in the relationship probably like you want. Or they do. Maybe they do. Maybe you are 100% that he should do those things. That's a decision that you get to make. What's in your thought bubble? How do you want to show up? That's what ultimately all relationship work is about. Do you want to show up angry, hurt, sad, understanding, willing? Once you decide how you want to show up, what feeling you want to have in the relationship, then you build your thoughts around them. With a husband who's depressed, with a wife who's cheated, with a son who owes money, all the things. All right. That's it, everybody. I don't see any more hands. Don't see any more questions. So I guess that's all. Thanks for being here, and I will see you soon. Bye.